The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So this morning, on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, we decided to let Martin Luther speak to you. So this is excerpts from a sermon from Martin Luther preached on October 19th, 1522. And he preaches a little longer than I do, which is pretty much everybody. So settle in. A sermon from Martin Luther. This morning, you already heard the gospel. Nevertheless, we shall deal with its main point. Now, you know that we have all been baptized and are called Christians. Accordingly, we should endeavor to know what it means to be a Christian person and have the name of Christian, and also what one must do to be one. Similarly, when a shoemaker, a tailor, or some other craftsperson wants to pursue her trade, she must know her trade in order that she may fairly be called a tailor. If she could not establish her name, it would be a disgrace. Likewise, if a person called himself a monk and did not know the rule of the order, he would be a laughingstock. Accordingly, we too must establish our name and demonstrate that we are rightly called Christians. Therefore, a person must first guard against human teachings and human commandments in order that they may not take root in him. He should first open his mouth wide to rejoice in the teaching of Christ, and also cultivate it in his heart, which teaching is the gospel, which Paul, Peter, and especially Christ in all the gospels call the word of God, because God through Jesus gave it and sent it from heaven. Neither I nor anyone else can preach the word adequately. The Holy Spirit alone must utter and preach it. It is not being preached these days, not by a long shot, God have mercy on us. And where it is not being preached, there you have tomfoolery, corruption, and the devil himself. Therefore, the first thing to learn is the teaching of Christ and not that of people. For these latter teachings should be thrown out, which is highly necessary at the present time. For through them, many a person is being led astray. Now we shall preach only the gospel, which came from God and was proclaimed and revealed from heaven. Moreover, the gospel proclaims nothing else but salvation by grace, given to humanity without any works and merits whatsoever. The natural person cannot abide, hear, or see the gospel, nor does it enter into the hypocrites, for it casts out their works, declaring that they are nothing and not pleasing to God. Therefore, nature is constantly fighting against the gospel. It will not tolerate it. They keep saying, "Ah, should we not do good works? After all, were there not devout people in former times who did good works? My father and mother believe this, and where they have gone, I want to go too." These people preach against God and do wrong. Saying such things, the teaching of Christ pleases them not at all, and finally it makes them furious. Now this is surely a sign that one is preaching the gospel and that it is beginning to be heard. Where the preaching or the preacher is not persecuted or spoken against, it is not the gospel at all, and the preacher is not preaching it. The gospel is always persecuted, and the hypocrites murmur against it, but their works are nothing. Direct yourself by that. Thus, you must prove your name as a Christian by faith and nothing else. That is, so as to believe that Christ's righteousness is yours, that his life, death, and everything that Christ is yours, given to you, as Paul says in Galatians. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It is as if Paul were saying, Christ gives me life. He lives in me. What I do, I am not doing. What I say and preach is not my word. Christ is in me. We are all Christians through faith and baptism. Now Christ is called the anointed, and through his name I too can be called an anointed one. It follows that that person is a Christian who has received Christ and believes in God with her whole heart. Take for example a faster who fasts every day on water and bread. She should rather be called a faster than a Christian. Her fasting does not make her a Christian, not at all. One who constantly prays much should rather be called a prayer than a Christian. Likewise with a pilgrim, a flagellant, a virgin, a founder of churches and altars, this does not make them Christian. What makes him a Christian is that he has God and everything that is God's. That is, that he has the unsurpassable treasure Christ, who is called rich in grace. As we call a rich man rich because he has many goldens and goods, so Christ is called the richest of the rich. There are some who say that faith is such a trifling thing always to be preaching about. Yes, it is such a trifling thing that it never can be sufficiently spread abroad and understood. Would God that it had been well preached. But now we are going to make a beginning and preach it. Christ too must be abbot for once and not human-made laws. Christ gives to a person a letter which is the gospel, and this God seals with their baptism and faith. God says to this one, look, I tell you and assure you that Christ Jesus, my son, is yours. And I have given you baptism and the sacrament as a true sign and seal, in order that you may believe me when I say that Christ is yours. His grace and mercy is given to you without any merit of yours. Only believe me, you will find eternal life in him. Therefore, faith, eternal life, grace, mercy, and all good is to be sought in the ever-living God. And this God wants to give to humanity. Humanity should freely count upon this and make bold to assume that all the things of Christ are theirs through pure grace without works. For if we had to be saved through our works, then Christ would be nothing at all. So you see that works contribute nothing to salvation or to establishing the name of Christian. When we have Christ by true faith, then he causes us to live in such a way that we are strengthened in faith, in such a way that I do these works which I do for the benefit and the good of my neighbor. For my Christian name would not be sufficient, despite my baptism and my faith, if I did not help my neighbor and draw him to faith through my works in order that he may follow me. Then a person, after she has given all glory to Christ, is always remembering to do to her neighbor as Christ has done to her, in order that she may help her neighbor and everyone else. Thus, Christ lives in her, and she lives for the betterment of her neighbor, giving to everyone a good example of doing all things in love. Without faith, you will not be saved. That's why Peter says we should desire the gospel in faith as a child longs for milk. The child drinks milk in order to become strong. It does not drink it in order to become a human being. It is a human being before it drinks. Thus, if I have faith, I am already saved, without any works or merit. It follows that it is faith alone that does it and not works. For God's work, the love which he teaches today in the gospel, goes on. And so if somebody charges that we are forbidding good works, you say to them, we do not forbid them. We are only pointing out the abuse of them and showing that they should be done for the inspiration and good of our neighbor, and that we should not put our trust in them. So when I help my neighbor, I prove my name as a Christian. God does not want our work. Guide yourself strictly by that. It follows from this that to us believers, Christ is salvation and consolation. But to the monks, he is foolishness. For the gospel does not bring anything into their kitchens, cellars, or closets as their laws did before. That's why they are the ones who are persecuting us now. But patiently take the cross of Christ upon you in order to be able to suffer this patiently if you want to be Christians. Take your faith and your Christian name to heart, for it is highly necessary for you and for me. In the whole gospel, nothing is more clearly emphasized than faith and love, as I said this morning. And as for us, we shall call upon God.